Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? So I've got a couple things. One, I was told to say Die Hard is a Christmas movie from stage. I have not seen any of them, so I'm sorry. I'm being honest. I don't lie. But I guess I was supposed to say that. Number two, if you have a kid in our City Kids class and you came a little early, you might have missed a gift for your family. Each family is given a cake, and it's a whole thing about making a birthday cake for Jesus and our City Kids. So those are gifts for you. If you did not get one, make sure you grab it before you leave today. You're not eating. And number three, one of the values at City View is that we celebrate is creativity, is thinking outside the box. That's something we celebrate. That's something when somebody has an idea that we really feel helps with the mission and the vision of our church, we want to do. And you don't have to be 30 or 40 or 50 to have a creative idea. You could be 9 years old. One of our City Kids came up to me last week and she said, I love to invite my friends to church, but I don't want to use the cards that we have for adults because they look adulty. She didn't use those words, but she pretty much said they look like something an old person would want. So I said, okay, what do you think? And she goes, I don't know, something that I could use to invite my friends at school. So I text Tony. Actually, I took a video of her telling her idea, and I sent that to Tony. So then this week, Tony worked on it pretty much right away. He created these cards that say City Kids on the front, and on the back it says, I know I don't have a slide, sorry. I should have done that, but, you know, it's a last-minute thing, and I don't want to throw it on Zach. It says, come hang out with us, and it's an invite for kids. So you know what? Ideas are something we treasure here. They're what we value. So yes, give it up. Her name is McKaylee. If you don't know McKaylee, her parents, they are in this service. But it is one of our 9-year-olds that came up with a genius idea of inviting their friends to church, and we celebrate those kind of ideas. So if your kid is, and we're mostly giving them out to kids that are in the older kids' classes, so from kindergarten up, if they didn't get some of these to invite their friends, make sure you grab them. Our City Kids directors will have those, and team leads, they will have those. But I love creative ideas, and I thought she did an amazing idea with coming up with that idea. And I know it's intimidating sometimes because some ideas you might feel like they're dumb. Some are, not going to lie. And I told them, I said, you know what, I have ideas that I think are great, and I will tell them to the team, and they'll be like, that's an idea, Jeremiah, and that's about all I get, and then I get shot down. But you see, with every 10 ideas, you might come up with one. You have to be willing to get shot down 9 times to come up with that one. And sometimes it's 100 ideas, you come up with one good one. But we celebrate creativity here. So that is that. And then now we are continuing our series of great expectations. You know, I have 3 boys, as I've told you, and they love to follow me. They follow me everywhere I go. My son yesterday, I have one son who's sick right now. He has strep throat, which is awful. So our house is full of sanitizer everywhere. Doorknobs are being wiped with like Lysol and fire. Trying to keep that. And that kid has to sleep on one section. He lays on one section of the couch. So I did a wedding yesterday, and my son Judah wanted to go with me. Which I love. I loved that. But what was crazy is you probably don't have this opportunity very much, but so I go and perform a lot of weddings, and usually the only person that I know at the wedding is the bride and groom, and I don't know anybody else. And so I sort of stand there awkwardly, and I say hi to people, but usually people don't want to talk to me, especially when after they see me do the service, and then I'm at their table, then they're like, how much can I actually drink? Can I cuss at this table? What can I do with the pastor? And why did the pastor get stuck at my table? And a lot of times I get stuck at like the grandparents' table because they think that's the safest table for me to be at. So usually it's pretty awkward. But my son Judah, he went with me yesterday, and he followed me every step of the day. He walked with me anywhere I went that whole day. And you know, I was thinking, my kids don't even, they don't just follow me with my walking where I go, but they follow my actions. If I'm stressed, guess how my kids act? Stressed. If I'm happy, guess how my kids are? Typically happy. if I lose my temper and I start getting irritated with one of my kids, guess what my kids do? They start following that. Sometimes I'm a great example and I love my kids following me, and other times I'm a terrible example, but they follow that too. And I don't like that. They follow my mood. And I have to think, who do I follow? Who am I following with my life? When I'm in a bad mood, who am I following in that bad mood? When I'm in a good mood, who am I following in that? Is it just according to the moment, or is it because I've actually allowed God to sort of infiltrate my life and be able to take over that moment for me? See, are the ones that we're following, the people we're following, the actions or whatever we're following, is it worth following? You see, for my kids, I'm not always the best example. But usually they follow my bad examples more than my good ones. And I'm not always so happy about that. And I let my kids down sometimes in that. Do we sometimes, when we look at how other people that we might follow, maybe it's our own kids, maybe when we were young we followed our parents, we followed their example, and maybe they've let us down or things happen to us or different situations, and then we think, is God like that? Right now there's a family, a pastor friend of mine. His wife passed away this morning. His kids are the exact same age as my kids, my boys. He has three boys. His name is Josh Vincent. He's the pastor over at Trinity Bible Church, just down the road. His wife died of cancer this morning. And you know what? As crazy as they will look at the life their mom lived, but then they will look and say, but God, you let her die. And they're going to have to come up with a choice on, okay, God, what kind of God are you like? Are you really worthy of following? And this morning, it's just been so hard thinking about, you know, we follow examples and we look going, okay, God, if this happened, is this really how you are? Is this really what you're like? And I look, you know, as my kids follow my example, and there are times where I might let my kids down. Will they tie that to God someday? Okay, God, if my earthly dad let me down, could you let me down? Because you see, so many times in our life, we tie the relationships and the things that we have here on earth, we tie them to God. We don't mean to, but we do. We tie that to God and we think, okay, God, is this really, are you just like everybody else down here? Or are you different? And God is so, so different. God desires to be bigger, more faithful, more reliable, and more loving than we could ever expect. I think God is okay with us expecting more than we could ever dream out of him. God is okay with us having great expectations for him. But I ask you, what do you expect from God today? Greatness or mediocre? Do you think he'll be greater than anything you've ever seen? Or will he be like everything else you've ever seen? And he might let you down. Because I think God wants to do things that you could never expect, but he wants you to expect the most out of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this day. And God, I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, encourage us, Lord. I pray for the Vincent family right now, Lord. I ask, God, that you would, Lord, meet them in these moments right now, the day-to-day, Lord, moment by moment, as they just try to get through the next minute. Pray for Josh, Lord, that you would give him the strength he needs to now be a single dad, Lord. For the kids, Ben, and I don't remember the other two little boys' names, Lord. I pray for them, Lord, that you would be close to them. Lord, that you would speak to them in a special way like only you can. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would not doubt that you can do this, but we would expect you to do great things. Lord, not just for this family, but in our lives, as many of us, we go into this season and we have different emotions, and some are excitement and some are dread and some are really questioning. Lord, I pray that we would expect you to meet us in a great way to do great things. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would meet your people at churches all over the valley. I think of Trinity right now, Lord, that you'd meet them, the people there, as they all mourn. Lord, I pray that you'd meet your people at Calvary Community this morning. Lord, that you'd meet your people at Gateway this morning. God, that you would meet your people at CCB and Refuge and Cross Church and Valley Life, Lord. I pray that you would meet your people and meet us here at City View in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look at the wise men this morning and the expectations they would have had of Jesus. Because you see, each person that was involved in Jesus' life had expectations of some kind or another. They didn't have hopes like we hope he becomes this, but they had facts. We plan on Jesus this. Mary planned on Jesus being a great king. That's what was told to her, and so she expected that. She expected Jesus to be great. Joseph expected Jesus to do great and mighty things. He expected Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. That is his expectation. That's what Joseph, the angel told him. His name will be Jesus, Savior, God with us. So Joseph had those expectations. Now the wise men, who knows how many there were? I mean, we're told three, but the only reason we're told three is because of the gifts that were brought. It was probably a lot more than three. It was probably a crowd. It's probably quite a few wise men that traveled together. But all the stories and movies, we see three, but we're gonna go with there were just wise men, plural. It says in verse 1 of chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, if you're joining us online, I'd like to say welcome and good morning to you. And if you are a guy in here and you missed last week's service, you need to listen to it. Go to our podcast and listen to last week's service. You need to. Don't miss out on last week's service. Verse 1, chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod, about the time some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." And King Herod, deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. So we meet these wise men. Can you imagine risking so much to follow a star? These guys left from the east, somewhere in East Asia. We don't know exactly where, but they started traveling. They were following a star, and these guys weren't dumb. These were wise men. These were magi. These were guys that studied and knew the stars. They were learned men. They knew what they were doing, and they knew how to maneuver life. They were the smartest of the smart. And they saw this star that meant something to them. They saw the star that they knew symbolized somebody important. The king of the Jews was born. And so they got up, they packed up their camels, they packed up all their stuff, and they left following a star. And they assumed that when they got to Jerusalem, that Herod, the king in the area at that time, that he would know. They assumed that everybody would know that the king of the Jews would be born. They assumed that this king, this great king, this mighty king, this king that brought a star into the sky, they assumed that everybody would be talking about him. But nobody was. Not even the Jews themselves. Nobody was expecting Jesus to come. You see, I think many of us, we can sort of live that same way, not expecting Jesus to do something. We can just sort of live our ordinary, everyday lives and expect the norm instead of expecting something amazing. One of the ladies here does one of our ministries where she goes and meets with different ladies and pours into them. And she was telling me a story this morning how one of the ladies, their daughters, accepted the Lord. That's an amazing story. But do we live each and every day expecting God to change a life? Or do we live like it's just a normal day? You see, these magi, they left expecting to see the king. They left expecting to arrive into Israel, that everybody would be talking about the king of the Jews. That's what they said. They said, "Where is the newborn king? Where is he? Where's his celebration? Where's the party?" And all they got was a king who felt intimidated that somebody else might take his throne. That's the situation that they walked in. They didn't walk into a place of celebration. They walked into a place of wonder and sort of disturb. Everyone was so focused on their day-to-day. You see, Herod had hoped that the Jews would accept him as king. Herod had hoped that the Jews would just believe that, okay, he's their king, and they have no hope for anybody else. The star must have been something impressive to make them leave so much to find one king. can you picture that star? You know, we, in the night skies recently, we've seen whatever the X spaceship, Spaceship X, or whatever that thing is that goes across the sky, and all of a sudden you see this light that goes across at night, and everybody thinks aliens are coming, and I mean, that's what I think, but who knows? I don't know if they're real or not, but. And we all look. Everybody posts. And we want to know, what was that? And we expect something amazing. And then we're lied to that it's just a spaceship. I'm just kidding. I'm not a conspiracy guy. I have no clue what it was. I just believe whatever I read. If it's on Facebook, I believe it. I'm kidding. But they left so much. They expected this. Why do we come to Jesus? Why did we come today? What are our expectations when it comes to who Jesus is? Is he just a letdown? Have we walked in just expecting he's just a letdown? I read this mom's post. She wrote this GoFundMe thing, and she wrote this thing about being a mom, and it made my wife and I cry. I read it again this morning, and it hits way too close to home. But what she just thanked God for allowing her to be a mom. And she expects God to do great things. You see, we can look going, man, God, my son asked me, Dad, why does God let things like that happen? And I had the exact same question. I told my wife, I said, why? Why? You know, I think we forget that sin ruined everything, and Jesus saves everything. And these wise men, when they walked in to Jerusalem, they weren't expecting the same norm. They were expecting to meet a king that's going to get rid of everything evil. That's what they walked in. They walked in going, where is this king of the Jews? Where is this king that we've read about? He's prophesied about. Scriptures talk about him. That's where they learned about the star. It wasn't just a random thing. They're like, well, that's a neat star, and I'll bet that star symbolizes the king of the Jews. No, it's because they knew what Scripture had said. Somehow these men from the east knew the promises of Scripture. They knew them. They knew what it said in the Bible about this king that would come to set the people free. They knew about it. How they knew about it, I don't know. Somebody told somebody and it got to them. See, that's how things work. You tell a friend about how Jesus can change a life, and all of a sudden another friend tells another friend, and another friend tells another friend, and that's how you got saved. That's how your life got changed, because somebody took a risk to tell you. But how many people have no longer gotten saved because it stopped at you? Because you stopped dividing. You stopped talking about him. You started being more focused on other things, and you forgot this expectation of, where is the king of the Jews? Who is Jesus to you? Why have you come here today? You see, they came because they knew this king had something they needed, and they wanted him. But Herod was in fear. It says in verse 4, he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked them, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem, in Judea, they said, his wise men and leaders of a city. For this is what Scripture says. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the ruling cities of Judea. For a ruler will come from you who will be a shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, that's the Magi, and learned from them the time when the star first appeared. You see how important that star was for these guys? It's crazy. And then it says, then he told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I too can go and worship him. After this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. Now, just to give you a little background, that's pretty important. Just a little, small little fact. You know, so many times we're told, you have the shepherd, Jesus, and all of them. They go into the barn or whatever, and Jesus is laying there in the manger. Then the shepherd comes, and then the little drummer boy comes in next. And then the wise men come in. That's not how the story goes. Jesus is probably 2 years old, okay? He's in a house now. It says that. He's also, it says he's a child, not a baby. Important little facts to remember. You know, I know we have all those nativities. Throw the wise men away because they really don't fit into the story at the moment. Or get a 2-year-old little, like, Lego man and put him in there, and you can change it out different times of the year. I'm joking, but just trying to help you see some facts. That's pretty simple in Scripture. We've made a whole market of it because we want to add the wise men into the whole baby Jesus story, but they're really a little bit later. They fit into the same story. You see, Herod desired not to know out of wonder, not to know, okay, the king of the Jews, he's finally here because he can help me too. He didn't want to know out of that. He wouldn't know out of fear. He was worried. Is this guy going to take my spot? His expectation for Jesus that he was going to come and conquer him and get rid of him, that was his expectation. And these guys, so he says, who is this guy? And they said, he's the Messiah. He's the Savior. You see, Herod wanted to be the Savior. Herod wanted to be the focus of the people. But a man can't be the focus. It's got to be Jesus. And so these prophets, these wise men, these learned men of the town, Herod goes and says, where is this? Show me the proof. And these guys take him back to Micah chapter 5. Retreats. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in distant past will come from you on my behalf. They said he's going to be in Bethlehem. Nowhere special. A small little town. Only known for that King David called it home. Other than that, there's nothing special about this town. You see, so many times we think, we expect these, Jesus will use great people. And I'm sure when this little girl, McKaylee, came up to me, and I'm sure she was like, I don't know if my idea is going to go anywhere, but I'm going to tell Jeremiah, I happen to be her uncle, but it wasn't that it was, she was my niece that I took the idea. It was really a genius idea. But we can look going, who am I? I'm sure people could think, well, what's Bethlehem? What good could come of Bethlehem? God says, Bethlehem, even though you're small, not significant, the Messiah will be born there. Then they say, this is what is to be expected of this king. This is what we can expect out of this baby that's born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 4. And he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. You see, these wise men, they came expecting not just to see a baby, but they expected to see a leader. A leader in the way of a baby that was going to be a shepherd. That wasn't going to be some boss. That wasn't going to be some king that was just going to wait for opportunities to crush people and get rid of people. But a king that was going to lead the way of a shepherd. That's what they looked for. That's what these shepherds, that's what these wise men, these men who everybody else looked to going, what do you have to say about our future? What do you have to say next? What do you have to say of what's going on with all the situations? And we looked to all these people for wise things. And they said, we're looking for a child who's going to lead like a shepherd. He's not like any other leader. That's the expectation they had. So they left Herod, verse 10. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it came time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. For God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Because soon after, Herod actually sent in his soldiers. And they went in and killed every single male child 2 years old and younger. But God came to Joseph in a dream and said, leave and go to Egypt. Joseph, a lot like nowadays, was a refugee who had to flee for safety. Crazy when you really think about Jesus' whole trek. Everything about Jesus brought these men to excitement. The star filled them with joy. The sight of Jesus brought them to worship. Look at this. When they saw Jesus, what did they do? These men who don't bow to anybody, they bow to a child. They humbled themselves. They saw his authority, and then they gave him gifts that were fitting for a king, not a baby, for a king. They came prepared to worship. They had expectation of worship that morning.
Do we come prepared to worship? Do we come prepared with the expectation of, God, you're going to meet me. God, you have something for me today. You have something for me this morning. Do we come with that expectation? Those men left their land thousands of miles away, came prepared to worship. They came ready to worship. They came ready with gifts. They came with their time. Their expectation was a great king that would shepherd their people. And this is what they saw as a shepherd. You see, we don't see shepherds today. We really don't see that. But this is what a shepherd did. Number one, a shepherd is a watchman. It was his business to keep a wide open eye and constantly search for the horizons for the predators of his sheep. You see, a sheep, what happens is sometimes what a wild animal do is it will just chase the sheep long enough to get that sheep tired. It won't run too hard because sheep aren't too fast. It will just chase them long enough to get that sheep tired to where it will fall over and die of a heart attack all by itself. Are we being run to exhaustion, being chased by the things of this world, allowing things to chase us and not trusting in our shepherd to protect us? Are we trying to figure things out on our own and fight things for our own? Or do we expect Jesus to be our watchman shepherd? You see, what are our expectations for Jesus as our shepherd, as our leader? What do we expect from him for our life? And I think some of us, we don't expect anything. We just sort of walk in thinking God expects from us. We think, okay, God, you expect me to come to church. You expect me to give. You expect me to serve. You expect me to do this. You expect this from me. God says, no, I don't. What do you expect from me? See, so many times we walk into this room thinking he's expecting from us, when all reality, we should expect from him. And the reason why we respond in service, the reason why we respond in giving, the reason why we respond in coming is because we know he's going to meet us. It's because we know he's done so much for us. Do we expect our shepherd to be a watchman? Do we expect him to be our guard? It says a shepherd in those days, his mission was not only to oversee, but it was to protect. It was to defend. Jesus desires to guard us. He does this by warning us through his spirit, our conscience. Have you ever been in those moments where all of a sudden something deep inside says, don't do that? Have you ever been there? And we just say, no, I'm just going to quiet that. Well, that's God being your shepherd. That's God putting a check in your heart saying, no, don't go that way. Don't do that thing. He puts that into our kids' hearts too. We have to teach our kids how to listen to that still small voice, that Holy Spirit voice that's in them, that conscience that God has made inside each and every one of us that helps guard our lives. Do we trust God as our shepherd? Do we expect Jesus to be our guard? The shepherd also is a guide. The shepherd is a guide. The sheep they're not the smartest of things. They're pretty independent travelers. They have to have a human leading them. They cannot just keep going from place to place. They will just sort of, you can't just take them out and hope they'll find food and hope they find water. They don't know how to do that. Sheep are pretty dumb. But see, the shepherd leads them. Do we expect Jesus to lead us? Do we trust Jesus is leading? Do we know his voice? Some of you are like, how? Like God speaks to me like you're speaking right now? No. I mean, he has done that, not to me, but in the past. But God speaks to me through Bible reading. God speaks to me through friends that are believers. God speaks to me through worship like this, singing. God speaks to me through prayer. Last week, I think it was, I can't remember what day it was, but Laramie went downstairs and I stayed upstairs and just sat on her bed and I just was praying. And so many times my prayer, I sing that song, what is the song? It's an old hymn, which I can't even think of now. Of course, I want to tell it to you and I can't think of it, so. Something about God being great or something like that. But it's amazing how in those moments that God speaks to me, says, I'm that to you. Do we expect Jesus to lead us? The shepherd is a physician. He knows how to heal a sheep when they get hurt. You see, God does heal physically. But in reality, this physical body is going to die no matter what. God wants to heal your soul. Because our soul is what needs to be healed each and every day. Our souls are hurt and they're wounded. Some are wounded more than any of us know. Things have been done to you and things have been said to you and you've been beaten down, you've been hurt, you've been destroyed, and your soul needs to be healed. And the only thing, the only one that can heal your soul, the deep down you that nobody else sees, is God. The shepherd of your soul can heal your soul. Do we trust him to be that shepherd? Do we expect Jesus to heal our soul? He does this through song, through counsel, through his word, through prayer, through times in his creation. He does it through a walk. A simple walk can be so healing to a soul. Now, for some of us, time alone is the worst thing for your soul. For some of us, getting that time where you're all alone in a room, that's the worst thing possible for you. For some of us, it's being around other godly people. For me, I'm a people person. Put me in a room by myself, and I'm probably going to go crazy. Like, oh, I can't handle myself. I need something. Like, I like to be around people. I like to bounce ideas off of people. I like to pray. I like to do things with people. But do we expect Jesus to heal our soul? The shepherd is a savior. You see, a sheep, what it will do is it will keep its nose to the ground and keep walking and following the grass and get lost. How many of us have ever kept our nose to the ground and we've just wandered in life and gotten lost? We just know, okay, this is what, I just got to keep my nose down. Jared asked me this morning, we were talking about this pastor whose wife passed away, and Jeremiah, what would you do? I go, I'd probably get lost in work. I'd probably get my nose down, look straight at the ground, and just keep going. Probably wouldn't want to deal with it. That's probably what I would do. Just thinking about my, I don't know. But you see, do we expect Jesus to be our Savior? Not just the Savior of our soul, but our Savior every day. Every day of our life, do we expect salvation? Do we expect him to meet us in each and every moment? To save us in those moments of ourselves where our minds are trapped, going places they shouldn't go? Because our minds do that. Our minds start wandering. We think one thought, and then all of a sudden our mind goes down this trail of lostness, down this trail. All of a sudden we look up going, how did I get here? Well, we've been just like that sheep. We've allowed ourselves to wander, but Jesus wants to be the Savior, the shepherd of us. He wants to be our Savior. The shepherd is a provider. He provides what the sheep needs. Do we expect Jesus to be our provider? You know, see, we work so hard to provide for ourselves. But do we realize that he provided us the ability to work, provided us the job, that he is our provider? Do we realize that? Do we expect Jesus to be our provider? And the last thing is, the shepherd is a love. He's a lover for us. He knows each of us by name. Do we expect Jesus to love us? Or do we feel like we have to earn it? You see, these wise men, these magi, they came in with great expectations for this child. That he wasn't just going to be a great king, but he was going to be a shepherd king. Not a king ruling his people with an iron fist, but a king ruling his people with a shepherd's staff. Loving his people, leading his people, guiding his people, protecting his people, watching over his people, healing his people. That's what these wise men came expecting to find. A shepherd king, not a reigning, conquering, ruling, barbarian king, but a loving king. What is it that we've come to expect today? You see, they came with great expectation for this king. They said, where is he? The king of the Jews. The one that is said would be a shepherd and a leader of his people. Where is this child? And when they found him, joy filled their hearts. See, the same thing is a promise to you. When you find him, joy will fill your heart. Lord, we thank you. that you are our Shepherd King, leading, guiding, protecting, providing, healing our soul. Lord, I pray that we would expect you to do the same that you've done all along, that you would be our shepherd, that you would be our lead. Lord, may we never expect any less, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.